What about that intro, huh?
That was amazing.
If you're listening or watching, you may notice that we have this brand new intro that, for lack of a better term, slaps. Shout out to Canva. We love you, Canva. Brandon, how are you doing this fine Wednesday?
Ooh, you know, I was doing good, but after that intro, I am doing great.
Right? It's amazing what music can do to your mood,
I'm so pumped up. what's unfortunate is nobody else got to experience the full video like we just did. Because that video is actually 2.5 minutes long. So we kicked it off 2 minutes before we went live. And then everybody got to experience the last 30 minutes with us. But wow, that's incredible. I don't know. Should we play the whole video next time?
We should play the whole video next time. I'll fix it so we have the right image in the middle of it. But yes, here's the thing. As you know, Brandon, I come from a musical theater background, and music is powerful, right? Like, just in the same way, this is a great segue into our guest today. Just in the same way that when you have like a stand-up comedy act, or even back in the day when they used to do live sitcoms, they would have like a warm-up act, right? And it would kind of like pump everybody up for the show. When I tell you, I listened to so many different songs on this free licensed music on Canva before I found one with a key change that would like get me going, pump me up for this. It was a selection process with this. So I'm so glad that work paid off.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. And, but yeah, everything's going great. Let's see. Big release this week for, the Xamarin Community Toolkit, which, if you've listened to the show before, you know I am a official maintainer on this Xamarin Community Toolkit, which is for all those Xamarin developers out there. If you want to bring in a bunch of really cool controls, buttons, even MVVM stuff that you can use under the hood, you can add the Xamarin Community Toolkit NuGet package to your repo. And we just officially released version 1.1 today. So more new goodies. Go check it out. It's all free to use. It's all open source. So highly recommend it to any and every Xamarin developer out there.
Xamarin, all the things. That's super exciting. Trying to think, so many things have happened in the last week. Oh my goodness. What to share? I got to put in a little bit of work on Saturday, which usually I'm like, work on the weekend. But this was actually really, really fun. I know I say this like a lot on different streams, but I work in our academic area of cloud advocacy. So I get to work with all these amazing students who are way smarter than me and very, very cool and awesome. And I always find myself singing Whitney Houston's I Believe the Children Are Future, because these kids inspire me. We had all of our recent cohort of BID project present all of their Azure Functions projects on Saturday. And when I tell you, I left this feeling very inspired. Usually when I work on the weekend, I'm like, oh my God, I don't work on the weekend. I am floored by these projects. I'll be sharing a tweet a little bit later today with a bunch of the blog posts of all the amazing projects. But these students did everything from, and most of these students had not played with Azure APIs. A lot of them, it was their first time dealing with an API. But everything from making their own music players to a text messaging app to notify. There was a geologist turned engineer who was using their skills to get alerted about earthquakes on their phone. Oh my gosh, so many amazing projects. A productivity app for students, which is like super relevant for kids during the Panera. But yeah, it was just, my heart is very full because, you know, we work here, we work on Microsoft products and stuff, but like when I get to see these kids, I say kids, but they're like grown adults in my mind because their apps are incredible, make things that are really impactful and it's their first time using these things. I'm blown away. So yeah, that was my wonderful, wholesome, heartful week.
Yeah, it's always incredible. And anytime I've joined, workshops, hackathons that are centered around students, I'm always really impressed because the scope of their projects. I remember like folks coming to me and like, oh, what are you working on? Like, oh, well, we're going to use artificial intelligence. We're going to write it in Python to do this. And like, oh, wow. Like, do you have experience with all that already? Nope. Like, so you're going to figure that out tonight. And I'm always blown away because they do. And it's incredible. Yeah. What you can do when you set your mind to it. So that's so awesome. I'm so proud of them for learning that. I mean, just learning things on Azure is no small feat. That's very impressive. That's
right. And I'm so excited for the next cohort. Y'all can check out if you know anyone. It's open to anyone, students, beginners, anything like that. And if you want to learn about Azure Functions, build a serverless project from scratch, have mentorship from folks like myself, Anthony Chu from the Azure Functions team. It's just been really awesome. I mean, like, I work with Azure Functions all the time, as we know. I love Azure Functions. I'm building things like fake boyfriends on there and Animal Crossing turnip timers and all the things. I love Azure Functions. But it's so fun to see the creative eye of, like, a younger generation working with these things, because there are so many different projects that I would not have even thought to build. Like, we had someone in a previous cohort make an app with Azure Functions that would take a picture and turn it into a PDF. And I thought, oh, like, what is the reasoning here? And it turns out that, unbeknownst to me, a lot of students have to, like, upload their files in different formats for online learning. So this actually solved a real life problem for this person and, like, their classmates. So, and it, we had, oh my gosh, we had someone, just like you were saying, Brandon, about like, oh, I'm going to go build this really hard thing and like BRB. We had a student in a previous cohort, never have played with IoT before, never did anything with wearables, made a wearable device using Azure Functions, IoT Hub, that his grandfather could wear. So if his heart rate went above or below a certain level, he could get notified and they would be able to take action. So it's like, wow. Incredible stuff. It's like mini Imagine Cup over here. So I'm just floored by all these projects and can't wait to share them with the world. It's been a very lovely week. And we're getting ready for a bunch of Imagine Cup stuff this week. So I'm feeling very, very fulfilled with I'm helping the children of the future.
There you go.
The future Chloes and Brandons of the world.
That's right.
So, should we intro our guest? Should we bring
Absolutely.
In our awesome, I'm amazing guest?
Very excited. Yes.
Okay. Well, as we mentioned, sometimes you need a warm-up act to, like, get people pumped. We're the warm-up act for this incredible, incredible main stage performer here. I met this person through the interwebs. They are a DevRel over at New Relic and just moved to my city. Welcome to the show, Danny.
Woo! Hey.
Hello.
Welcome, Danny.
Hello.
I should have got the soundboard ready for this one so we could have like a laughter, but.
Yeah, I'll just be like yeah.
Air horn. So Danny, tell the folks at home who you are, what you do, all of that fun stuff.
Yes. Hello, everyone. My name is Danny Ramos. I am a developer relations engineer at New Relic, otherwise known as a Relican. And I stream on Twitch every day. Sometimes I miss a day. Don't tell my boss. But I'm on Twitch and I'm out here just trying to learn alongside everyone and just like be as the best developer I can, learn more, teach more. But prior to that, I was doing stand-up comedy and I was working in retail for about 8 years. Shout out to Costco. and I just decided, you know what? I'm going to go to code school. And that happened to be like 2 weeks, maybe. I don't know. I was supposed to start. And then like 3 days before, pandemic happened. And so everything went remote. And so I was stuck inside learning code while we were supposed to be stuck inside anyway. So it kind of worked out for me. And I got really lucky. And then about a month after graduating school, I got a job at New Relic. So that's how I got here.
What a happy ending.
Wow. Yeah, right. Yeah, we'll see how it goes though. I don't know.
The journey continues.
Yeah.
And that's incredible, just the timeline. Because I mean, we just hit the 1 year anniversary of the pandemic lockdown.
Yeah.
And so essentially what you're saying is around this time last year, you didn't know how to code yet. Were working or maybe paused your job, but before that had been working in retail And now you're working in developer relations at New Relic. That is incredible. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. About a year ago, I probably was getting the grade from my first exam and very much crying because I had the first exam. I remember like going through it and I was supposed to just like create a method. I was doing, so I focused in backend and learned Ruby and learned Rails. And I remember trying to like define a method and I had no idea what to do. And I even wrote, like I commented out a piece of code and wrote, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I was like, I'm not going to understand code. Like, this is terrible. Like, I just spent so much money on this and I'm not going to get it. And my girlfriend's like, well, you know, people learn. So just stop crying.
So relatable. Yeah. I vividly remember. So my boyfriend is an engineer. And so I was very lucky if I had like homework help or things like that, or needed homework help, I should say. But I vividly remember, and I'm still like physically triggered by the sound of, Fleet Week, like whenever, so in San Francisco, we have Fleet Week every year where all of the, I guess maybe it didn't happen this last year, where they fly all of the Air Force airplanes over and it's very loud. Mm-hmm. And I vividly remember having to complete, my boyfriend was out of town, so I was on my own for this one piece of homework I had to do over the weekend, crying and trying to learn regex and listening to the planes go over. So it's one of those things where when you're new to programming, it can feel like a lot.
Yeah, it's super overwhelming because you're just like, why don't I understand this? Why am I the only person that doesn't get it? And then you get a Slack message from someone. It's like, hey, do you understand what's going on? I don't. I'm like, oh, okay. Everyone is struggling, but it feels very isolating, especially for learning alone in your room, which is your office.
I mean, I didn't learn what imposter syndrome was until I started in tech. I don't think that's any coincidence there.
I just thought I was really weird. And then I learned it's like a thing.
Oh, this is everyone.
Yeah.
But you, I would imagine, coming from a performing background as a comedian or even just working in retail, like failing, I feel like is such a big part of being a performer. And I'm sure like testing out new material as a comedian and having it go deathly quiet. How have you found that kind of like transition going for you? Like, do you think, I know for me with whiteboarding, for example, like I was like, oh, I've auditioned before. So like, this is a little bit better. Do you have any of those crossover moments that come up for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So during the interview process, it was something that I really wanted to focus on and I wanted to highlight because I knew that would make me stand out in the lineup of people that were being interviewed. And so I was like, I'm constantly failing every day and I'm constantly failing in front of people. And I take that as like a learning experience. So it's like my whole thing was that 2 years ago, I guess 3 years ago now, I walked into like a dingy dive bar for the first time to try stand-up comedy. And I failed miserably. I was so bad. And so much so, like the host was like, dear God, that was awful. Let's give him a round of applause. And that kind of grew inside of me because it was like, I really love this, but I also can like learn from each failed experience. And at that time, I was kind of looking for a new job. And that's actually how I got into tech, because I was meeting more and more people that were in tech or had gone to code school and things like that. And I kind of wanted to find another like failing experience that I can grow from. So stand-up actually kind of got me into tech because it was like, I want to find a job that I am finding myself in this like creative failing process where it's like, I will do something that doesn't work. Okay, what about this? Okay, what about this? I've learned this doesn't work and I've learned this doesn't work, but I know this piece is pretty good. So let's try this over here. And that's exactly how I kind of approach coding if I'm not panicking.
Yeah, there's nothing more vulnerable. Brandon, have you ever tried stand-up before? Have you ever done it?
I don't know if telling bad jokes at conferences counts, but no, I've never gone to an open mic or anything like that. No,
I have done it once. And I will say the only like parallel experience that I can explain to doing stand-up for the first time was the first time, because you feel like a total imposter. You go up for the first time and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing, but nobody knows. It's okay. The first time I ever said to someone, like when they said, oh, what do you do? And I said, I'm an engineer. Like, and I felt like, oh my gosh, I just said it out loud. And like, okay, no, the alarms haven't gone off and like nobody's pulled off my Scooby-Doo mask yet. That is the only similar experience that I've felt like when I first started interviewing as an engineer and stand-up comedy. So I love that you were able to kind of be like, oh, let's use this vulnerability skill as something applicable to something else. I love that, Danny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's also, it's very mature because I guess, would you consider yourself a junior dev or junior engineer? Because you usually don't hear that that mindset from somebody who just is still kind of new to it. Because yeah, and when you come out of school, and I blame schools for this, but yeah, in school, like failure is bad. Failure right. is the worst thing that can happen. If you get an F, oh my gosh. You're going to get kicked out of college, or you're not going to get into college because you're going to get kicked out of high school, whatever it might be. But yeah, in reality, failure is how we learn because we have to try. And most times, whatever we try won't succeed, especially not the first time. And we learn from that experience, and then we can try again, and eventually we do succeed. But yeah, usually when I'm chatting with recent graduates, whether they're coming from boot camps, college, they're still very much in that mindset is like, I have to get an A, I have to get 100% every time. Otherwise, yeah. I'm a failure. And it's like, no, I fail all the time. Right. Like, I even go into things knowing like, this will not be successful, but I need to try it. So, yeah, I'm very impressed. And it sounds like maybe we should get more devs into comedy.
I think so. I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready for the improv comedy team of DevRel folks. I mean, have you ever, there's such a night and day difference between seeing someone do a live demo and it totally going awry and them like, not even just having improv experience, but knowing how to handle that situation versus the, you know, and yeah. I think like in the same way, you know, we've said this on the show before, like I've seen a lot of really bad musicals. Like I've seen a lot of really, really bad plays in my life. Like that was a majority of my life pre engineering. But there's always something from a bad performance that like you can kind of walk away with, but a bad technical talk or demo. Oof, we need to start like teaching improv classes, Danny.
Let's do it. I'm down. Like I was trying to do a developer improv, but I need to like actually write a curriculum out. It was just like Daniel and I doing improv and then getting mad at each other because we're like, this isn't working.
Yeah. And wait, we need to go back a little bit to your origin story here, your Marvel origin story.
Yes.
What was your, you were working at Costco and you were doing the stand-up comedian thing, but what was your degree in and what was your kind of previous life before that? Right. What were you involved in?
So my whole dream, I guess, was, well, I didn't know what I wanted to do in high school or anything. I had no idea, but I knew that I like really enjoyed like making people, hey, what's up, Mia? I enjoyed making people laugh. Like that was always like my thing. I was voted funniest person at my school. I was like the MC. I knew that was like my thing. And so I was like, well, I guess I could go to school for film. I could make funny movies or something. And so I ended up going to the University of Colorado Denver and studied film and theater production. And that was okay, but I unfortunately had to work like full time while I was in school. So I'd like take the train down and I had just started at Costco and they gave me the maintenance position, which is actually the janitor. So I was the
office manager at a company, AKA the janitor.
So I was the janitor. I would go in at like 5 a.m. and then I would get off and then go to school, take the train down, and then just, and it was like my life for a long time. It was very comfortable. You know, it was like whatever during, the janitor job. I loved being a janitor. I think it's so much fun to just like walk around and you kind of do your own thing and a lot of time to like be thinking of little jokes and bits in my head and like just wearing the same thing, just being a disgusting 20-year-old wearing like a Hawaiian shirt and brown pants that didn't match. Anyway, So I
think I thought up a lot of material, like when I was stocking makeup at Sephora. Like I would just like be putting, wiping down makeup, you know, back in the day when we could try on makeup in a Sephora. Can you imagine today? Wiping down the, what we used to call, quote unquote, the layer of uncertainty. Never try on makeup in a public place, you will get a disease. But I would often like just kind of zone out and get into a system where I'd be thinking of different things that I wanted to write or like different projects I want to do. You kind of get to be in your own little world in those roles where you're just in your own little world.
Yeah. And so there I was in film schools doing little films and stuff here and there. Some of them live on YouTube, but I won't drop any links to those yet. and I had met the Black Actors Guild. So the Black Actors Guild is a production and education company in Denver. And at the time, it was just like four guys who had just finished school or dropped out of like University of Northern Colorado for theater. And it was like a group of just like five young Black students that were just like, you know what? We don't want to be the main like side character. We want to be the main character. So they were like, we're going to start our own theater company. And we hit it off and we had met at this party and then we started doing improv together. And then that led to us doing our own productions and running our own theater and like really killing it in the improv scene in Denver. And we did that for like 8 years. I mean, they're still going strong right now.
Wow. Yeah. So for folks who aren't like us, who have these creative arts degrees, I know people ask me all the time, like, you have a theater performance degree. What did you do? Pretend to be a cat all the time? And I was like, kind of. What do you do, like, with the, you said it was a film and theater production degree. Mm. What kind of things are taught in that kind of curriculum? Because I feel like you probably learned a lot of business savvy things or, like, just how to manage and put up a show or a production or a film production for that matter.
Yeah, I would say my school, there was a lot of things that I learned from my school and it was great, but I really want to recognize, like, I learned a lot from being part of like the Black Actors Guild and being part of an ensemble of people who we were just like hungry. We were hungry to like produce our own content. We were hungry to make people laugh and like obviously make some money off of art, which would have been really cool. That was like, whoa, we can do that and live like that. That's crazy. So it was just a lot of different small business savvy things where we're just like, oh, you know what? That was when Instagram was new. So we're like, if we jump on this Instagram thing, we can like market, we can like market our shows on Instagram and people can like them and you can create a hashtag. So we were like, we call our like hashtag was like GTRT, like Guild Talk, Real Talk, and then BAG. And then we took over like the Denver Improv hashtag. Like if you just type that in, it was just pictures of us. So it was just like finding little things like that, little different angles where we would just like become the first thought of people's mind in people's mind for outdoor.
And that's things to do. Something you can totally use as a DevRel too. Like that's just learning how to, I feel like so much of learning how to brand myself as an individual entity as an actress, like has helped me a lot in being able to create a brand and, you know, you got to sell yourself as a product in a lot of ways. So I love that you're able to use like that practical life experience now in your current role. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's, I think it takes some reflection, you know, because there's times when going into a tech interview, I felt like I didn't have much to offer. It's like, oh, I worked at Costco. Like on paper, it's like, oh, I worked at Costco and I have a college degree that I didn't use. And I'm a stand-up comic that gets paid with pizza and beer. So it's like, oh, I don't have anything. But if you really break it down, it's like, okay, I have this production degree where I learned how to like reach deadlines really quickly and like do everything I can to get something finished. And, with a small little budget and then stand up, I'm failing constantly. And then working at Costco, I held all these management roles and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you got to really spread it out a little bit and see what are the highlights for each thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And actually I'm curious, because I want to expand on the stand-up comedian background a little bit and what what you're bringing, or maybe what you learned from it that you're bringing into DevRel. So yeah, what are some of the ways that you prepared as, or you learned as a stand-up comedian during your preparation that you now use when you say before you stream, or if you're to go on stage at a conference, what kind of skills came from that background?
Well, I'm really excited to get on stage at a conference. That's like, that's going to be like my sweet spot, I hope.
We'll be in the front row. We'll be like, yeah.
Yeah. Hold signs.
Just my giant head. I'm looking at conferences to like apply to or submit abstracts to, but I think for me, when I do stand-up, I like to be as like genuine as possible, like share personal stories and share my experience and really relate to the crowd. And I think I kind of bring that during like a Twitch stream. Like, I just want to be as genuine as I can. And there'll be days where I'm just like tired and I'm like, but I'm going to stream or talk about a funny story or show, like jump into some code that I have no idea how to approach and just kind of ask the chat, like, do y'all know how to do this? Cause I'm not really sure how to do this.
Yeah.
And that's kind of something I'm take from being a comic. It's just like, people really just want to relate on a very personal level, or at least that's how I approach it. And so if I can be as genuine as possible, I think I'll find success there.
I think authenticity in tech can be rare. And what makes me, because, you know, when especially when it comes to developer relations or marketing, there's sort of this like hashtaggy synergy, you know, marketing jargon that comes into play a lot. And what I've really, really loved, like one of the positives of the Panera has been streaming. Because for me, and we've talked about this on the show before with other guests, previously as a DevRel, I felt like, all right, I have to have my demo. And it was very much like a... what did we call them? I can't even, a webinar, right? Where it was very rehearsed and practiced and everything would go a certain way. And what I've loved about streaming and having participation from the audience is it's like a group pair programming session. So like being vulnerable about, I'm really bad at regex. So like, let me try to figure this out and use Stack Overflow, but then having the help of the audience, it becomes more of a, you know, it's not a one to many relationship. It's more cohesive and able to work with the community more. So I think that your vulnerability, you know, in the way that you're like portraying yourself of like, hey, let's learn this together is way more welcoming too. Cause nobody out here goes through these tutorials online and just zips through them. At least not to me.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I want to be that person that people can learn alongside and really just, I think it's, I'm excited to just be so early in my career in a position like this. I feel so lucky. Feel like Jonan really took a risk hiring me. But I'm excited, you know, see where I'm at in a year. And hopefully I've already, so many people have reached out to me and just been like, hey, you know, I noticed that you were working at Costco for a really long time. I'm thinking about getting into tech. Can you give me any tips or resources? I'm like, yes, this is exactly my time to shine.
Let's go. Yeah.
You're like, I can get you in some, you know, vest flannels. I can get some stuff with some tech brands on them. Yeah.
I saw that Prince Harry just got a job as a tech, like growth something at a startup. Like it was just like in the news the other day. And I was like, we're going to see Prince Harry in some Patagonia. Should be interesting. Yeah, that was my first thought.
We'll have to bring him on the show.
Got to get him on the show.
Like a puffer. That's what I'm seeing in the Bay. Everyone's got these little cool little puffer jackets.
I kid you not. Oh, yeah. Speaking of comedy and tech, I once threw a meetup, a Sentry Scouts meetup that was on Halloween, and we themed it as the best like code horror stories. So like people brought their worst like debugging or like, you know, oh my God, the server's on fire kind of stories. And I dressed up in a costume, quote unquote, because no one thought I was in costume, it turned out, where I borrowed my boyfriend's Patagonia jacket. I wore my Allbirds. So I dressed as what they called the Midtown uniform, if you don't follow the Instagram account. And nobody knew I was in costume. Everyone thought I was just dressed as a regular Bay Area Silicon Valley employee. So I think what I love to see, especially when I see folks who enter this field from either a comedy background or entertainment background, it is really hard for me as someone who is entering this industry later in life, to not poke fun at certain things that I just find so absurd, which is why you'll find my Twitter is a majority of me either self-deprecating humor about my code or like me pointing out weird inconsistencies in tech where I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. And I think if I didn't have a sense of humor about it, especially as a woman in tech, I don't think I would be able to stay in tech. And I used to give a keynote called The ROI of LOLs, which was about this. It was literally talking about how, you know, we have memory hooks that can either be like deeply emotional or very funny. And you're going to remember a talk or an engaging, you know, workshop that you did with someone who made you laugh or pulled at your heartstrings. So I always get really excited when I see folks in the industry like yourself or Corey Quinn or, you know, Emily, who are doing these really great, you know, funny things about tech, because I think we need a sense of humor to be able to survive in this industry.
yeah, absolutely. I'm working on, or I finished an abstract on, I called it, well, shout out to Aisha, Aisha Codes on Twitch.
We love Aisha.
Yes, helped me finish up my abstract, and I'm trying to submit it to conferences. It's called Beer Bellies and Comedy. No, Beer Bellies and Failure. I should probably know the name of my own.
We're workshopping it.
It is called Beer Bellies and Bombing, Building Resilience. Mm. Okay.
And, I love that.
So I'm just talking about just like the embracing failure, kind of what I had talked about earlier, just like this idea of like taking every chance of failure or every opportunity of failure and just growing from it.
Ah. Brandon, did you work in retail? I know you've had some customer service positions, but I feel like it's time for Tales from the Retail. I just made them up as I said it. I'm very proud of myself. Improv. You've worked in a couple retail positions, is that right?
I mean, are you asking me or are you asking Danny?
I'm asking you, Brandon.
I haven't like worked in retail where I've stocked shelves, but I've worked in like customer facing jobs. Like I've had a couple jobs at the Disney theme parks, and where you have to interact with guests. And you know, at Disney, you always have to be nice to the guests. Like that's if you are mean to a guest, that's the quickest way to get fired at Disney. And so some of those guests, they're having bad days, and you know, they're on their family vacations with their four kids that are all screaming at them, and they're letting you know how frustrated they are. Have to just it's 100 degrees out and everybody's just miserable. Yeah. But you're just like, yeah, this is great. And then yeah, I mean the best is when you can actually cheer them up or turn it around, you know, if anything from just like giving the kids some chicken tenders or some ice cream just to make them smile, or giving like comping something to the parents. I've definitely had to, or I've definitely had to experience those tough customer moments. That's for sure.
Yeah, I definitely feel like, and I should have used this when I was interviewing as a junior dev. So anybody out there interviewing who's worked at Sephora, you can steal this from me. But I remember we used to have makeup consultations. So people could come into Sephora and, you know, we could do a smoky eye on them, or, you know, help them pick a lipstick shade and kind of do a little makeover. Mm-hmm. And I am of course, podcasts are a visual medium if you're listening to this. But I am a 5'2", very pale young lady. And I was in college at the time. And people would come in who would have completely different skin color, eye shape, skin tone, everything, and say, I want the makeup that you want, that you have on. And I go, okay, I can do that. That may not look the best. So it was almost like building a feature for a client or something, right? Where it's like, I want this website to look exactly like this. And I was like, okay, well. So I would, you know, give these consultations, and then I do their makeup exactly like mine. They go, doesn't look good on me. And I'd be like, oh, that's what I told you. So like being able to communicate those things to a client, you know, especially if you're doing any like freelance work or working with like a third party to build something for them, I really got to learn not only just how to like suggest like, hey, this is not the right idea, but maybe we can think about this. I've found that a lot of those customer interactions, I find myself going back to my previous life working at J. Crew, Disney Store, you name it. And these very particular interactions where, you know, in what world do you have to deal with a situation? Someone, a kid peed in the magic tumblers in aisle three, like, go take care of it. Like, thinking on your feet like that, dealing with difficult situations. I felt like anytime I got in a job interview question that was like, have you ever dealt with difficult people? I'm like, well, I did do theater and I did work in retail for many years. So yes, yes, I have.
So many times where it's just like, put on a face, you're like, oh, wow, this baby just puked its entire body weight all over the shopping cart. And I am the person that has to clean this up. Sweet. I remember this mom was just holding this baby like, I'm so sorry. I have no idea what's wrong with him. Maybe
it's a baby. Should,
yeah, figure it out. I got it. We'll get you another cart. It's all good. And just, but yeah, I think those kind of experiences kind of like build a little bit of resilience. But it's also like, I think I try to always just keep a positive outlook on life. There's so many, you know, you never know what's going to happen in life. So it's just like, oh, okay, this is not the worst thing in the world. It's probably the worst thing in my life right now. But in about 5 minutes, I'll probably be okay.
Yeah. And I think it ties in nicely to something you said earlier, Danny, about bringing your authentic self. And because when you can be authentic with people, like they recognize that and they appreciate it. And thinking back to when I worked at Disney, you're so trained. Like literally, you have to go through days of classes when you get your first job at Disney. They called, I don't remember what they called. Maybe it'll come to me in a minute. but before you're allowed to interact with guests, yeah, you have to go through a couple days of training. And by the time you get out there, you're kind of wearing this mask. You're putting on a fake smile and you're just being overly nice to people. And people can detect that. Like when you're not being authentic, it can be very jarring. And that's something I found when I first started getting into developer relations was, I won't say I necessarily lied about anything, but I very much had a line drawn in the sand between this is the Brandon that I present to the public. So this is the Brandon you'll see on Twitter, at conferences, meetups, streaming, whatever. And then this is who I am at home. And it doesn't work. I mean, yes, you can do it. But I wish somebody would have told me this earlier, because once I started sharing things about myself, anything from being honest about what you know and what you don't know, to just sharing little things like I have a dog named Kirby and he's amazing, and just kind of like sharing some more personal aspects and just being true helps kind of with that, with being authentic. And I see it so much more now. Like anytime I am out somewhere, or like maybe you're at a restaurant or just going through the drive-thru, or maybe you're at a store and somebody is just not authentic with you. And it's like, hey man, like, listen, you don't have to give me the spiel. You don't have to give me the company line. Just be real with me for a second. Like, is this going to work? It helps cut through everything. So I love that advice. And I'm honestly really jealous that you not only already learned it, but you had that coming into the DevRel world.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good to hear. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Claude, but it's good to hear. It's because I think the first couple times I was doing stand-up, I was trying to put on like a front, and that just like makes you super exhausted. So I just imagined just doing that on Twitch every day and not being like my true self and trying to be like the master developer. I remember having like a one-on-one with Joan and Scheffler, my boss, and I was like, you know, I had like a really cool experience today where I just asked the chat like, hey, does anyone know how to figure this out? I am kind of blanking and I don't know what to do. And it was really nice to do that, because I had this whole thing in my head that like I needed to be like the educator. But I obviously don't know everything, and I'm very new and I'm here to learn. So I just need to like kind of wash those layers away now. Otherwise, like you said, Brandon, it's just going to be like super exhausting and it's I'm not going to be able to be like who I am. And I think I'm pretty cool. So
I'm so jealous of Danny's self-awareness so early on in his DevRel career, because I feel like I just learned how to ask for help this week. Like, I've been doing this for like 5 years now. So I feel like you're already set up for success, Danny, because I think two of the biggest things that I learned was to be comfortable feeling uncomfortable and also learning how to ask for help. And those can be very vulnerable, especially when you're brand new to a field and you're already terrified that you're like with your imposter syndrome, oh my gosh, like, did they make a mistake? Like, are you sure that you emailed the right person, the offer letter in Microsoft? I don't know. But then on top of that, to be able to be vulnerable enough to like, not everybody knows everything. And I think that can be very, very difficult when you are trying to keep up the appearance that you know what you're doing. Everyone starts somewhere.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's another thing that I wish somebody would have told me too, is admit what you don't know and be upfront with it. Because when I used to be a sales engineer, and I always looked at it like I'm supposed to be the expert that is kind of the liaison to the company, to the developers that are using our tools. And yeah, when I started out, I definitely pretended a lot. I knew I didn't know things, but I knew my job was also to be that expert. And so I didn't want to let the company down, let my manager down. But really all I was doing by pretending to know something was letting our customer down, or the fellow developer who is just trying to use our product and asking questions. Whereas all I had to say was, you know, that's a good question. I'm not really sure. I'm going to go figure that out. And then I'll call you back, or I'll
okay,
I'll
write that down, Danny, because that sentence saved my life. My biggest fear as a DevRel when I first started was, oh my gosh, what if I, because now when that everything's digital, you can kind of like vet the questions yourself, right? But like back in the day when pre-Panini, when people just raise their hand or come to the front of the stage with the microphone, I was deathly terrified that someone was going to ask me a question that I didn't know the answer to. And I would just be like, Bueller, and disappear into the abyss, just perish on the spot. But once I learned that sentence, just like Infinity War. But once I learned that sentence, that's like, that's a great question. Let me get back to you afterwards and we can have a chat. Like, game changer, because suddenly I was invincible to mistakes.
Very true.
Yeah, just like brushing it off. Like, anyway, back to
anyway. Next question. Also, for this is a tip for anyone, but especially women in tech. I found that a lot of folks were coming up and saying more of a comment, less of a question. And I go, was there a question in there? That's my other helpful, helpful tip.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, and I found just, even like if you are asked a question where you kind of know the answer, but you're definitely not an expert, then I'll lead with, well, I'm a mobile app developer and I'm not really an expert on databases. It's like, but I think this is how I would do it. And then, yeah, if you are streaming live, or if you are at a conference or a meetup where other people can help out, then I'll also reach out to the audience and say, hey, is that right? Does anybody else know more than I do that can help out? And yeah, just being upfront, because if you pretend, like if somebody did ask me an entity framework database question or something like that, and I pretended to be an expert on it, they're going to sniff me out. The people in the audience or the people watching who actually are experts are going to hear me use the wrong jargon. They're going to hear me maybe not that my answer is wrong. It might still be correct, but it might not be the best answer. And then right away, they're going to just lose that respect for you. Because like, oh, this guy is pretending. Yeah, like he's pretending to be an expert. What else is he pretending about? Whereas, yeah, if you just kind of lead that with, well, I'm not an expert on databases, but here's how I've done it in the past. And then, yeah, reach out and be like, but who here is an expert? Who knows better than me? And try and get people to chime in. It's so important. Yeah.
I think I was kind of forced into admitting that I'm not an expert because I, I get hired for New Relic, and I'm like, oh my God, this is insane. Like, my girlfriend's been an engineer for like 5 years. She's like, New Relic is a huge company. This is so amazing, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, wow, whoa. And then I remember telling my parents, they're like, that's so cool. What does New Relic do? And I'm like, I
don't have no idea.
I'm like, hold
they
on, let me,
pay
let
me, me
like,
money.
Check out, yeah, like check the website real quick. And I obviously I'm like only a year from, or I'm like 3-4 months from code school, and we never use like an observability platform. So I was like, oh, it's an observability platform. And friends would be like, okay, well, what does that mean? I'm like, can you just be excited for me?
You let me have this. Yeah, I think that was the first like difficult quote unquote thing that I had to learn at my first job. Similarly, was at a Docker CI/CD company, and we didn't use or learn Docker containers at my boot camp. Mm-hmm. And so step one for me as a DevRel was to like memorize the 2-sentence pitch that was like, we're a Docker CI/CD company that does blah, 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 blah. And that mm-hmm. was like such a, just even I think making the transition from a non-technical role. We've talked about this in the past with, we had Kim, Brandon's wife, on the show, and also Jill. There's a lot of like translation that you learn and happen language wise. Mm-hmm. I was literally just helping a friend the other day. She texted me and said, oh my gosh, I have my first big interview with a media tech company. Like, help me with technical jargon terms. Like, what should I ask? Like, how should I ask these things? And it's funny, having been in this industry so long, like the difference between like, hey, what backend tools do you use? Or like, what productivity tools do you use to like, blah, 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 versus like, how do you do, like, there's so many kind of industry specific things that we're so used to as quote unquote technical people that literally, like we've talked about this before, stage managers from theater are just like PMs or product managers. They really mm-hmm. do the exact same thing, but being able to communicate that and use the right jargon on your resume or in the interview or, you know, on your on-site really makes a huge difference. And I think is one of the really big barriers to entry for a lot of folks like us, because how do you know until you've learned it?
Yeah. Once I was in school and I was learning more and more about the tech industry, I was like, oh, I have so much experience in all of this. Like, it was just crazy to actually put two and two together. It's like, oh, I have all this tons of marketing experience from when I was a marketing manager at Costco. It's like, oh, that is like DevRel. Like, I'm marketing myself. I'm marketing the company. Like, there's that little piece there. And then there's janitor. Like, just taking some terrible thing that I have to deal with and just making some good out of it. You know, that's what I kind of highlighted.
Yeah, the whole like I have nothing to offer thing, I feel like is something that I have to help every single one of my mentees with, because they're like, I am so unqualified. I don't know why I'm getting these interviews. Like, this has to be a mistake. And I'm like, no. Like, you did X before, and X can be applied to Y in these ways. Sometimes it just kind of helps. You need a translator. Like, I recommend to anybody out there who's making a transition into tech, it's what you're doing is really, really hard, and making sure that you have a mentor who can support you and help answer those really weird, tricky questions. Like, just like you said, Danny, like, how do I define observability? Or like, how should I pose? Like, I got this interview question and I got really tripped up on it. What's a better way that I can answer it given my skills? Mm-hmm. Because you don't know what you don't know. And it's hard to learn these things unless you learn from failing or you learn from someone. We stand on the shoulders of giants over here. We got to learn from the other people who've gone through it.
Yeah, I think it's very, very important to have a person you can kind of look to for questions and kind of take you out of this like tunnel vision of your previous experience. I know for me, it's just like, oh, this is just all the stuff that I've done. And people would be like, wait, no, this was really cool. Or when you did this, this was really cool. And this is this and this. And I'm like, oh yeah, but that was just like a regular day for me. No big deal. it is good to get someone to really make you notice like the really, really cool things about yourself. That way it gives you that confidence that you need going into an interview.
I always give the advice to folks who are just starting out as speakers, like giving talks. They're like, how do I write my bio? Like, what do I put in it? I always tell folks, if you're having trouble writing your own bio and you have trouble talking about yourself and bragging about yourself, ask a good friend or a big fan of yours to write it. Like, because it's hard. It's hard to like see the the specialness and the superpowers that we already have. So having a mentor, having someone like, you know, I'm sure in your boot camp, Danny, you had a lot of people like going through the same interview process and kind of like comparing notes of like, how did this go for you? But yeah, I love this comment here from PJ. That's a great point about tunnel vision, Danny, because it's hard to be able to identify these things for yourself.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah. Even I was recommending a good friend of mine, we won't say his name just in case his employer's watching, but recommended him for a role at a new company. And the first thing he came back to me and said, he's like, I don't know. I don't think I have any experience with this. And the role was, it was a sales engineering role. And he's like, I've never done that before. And I was like, yeah, but A, you're already a senior developer. So you understand code, tech, all the jargon, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, plus, you've been a consultant before. Like you've built apps for companies and people, and they've had to give you requirements and tell you what they want and what they're looking for. I was like, this is exactly the same thing. You're just now doing it on behalf of this company. Like as a sales engineer, you're not necessarily selling anything. You're helping them overcome problems. So when you go meet with these people for the first time, you're just going to essentially architect out some things for them, listen to what their requirements are, make some recommendations. It's like, you've done this before and you'd be great. And yeah, it was funny when I sent the intro, I sent the intro email to connect him with the hiring manager, and it was a glowing intro. And I'm not bragging about my email writing skills. What I am bragging about is his experience and his job history and how well aligned to it. And he didn't even see it. This would have been a role that he would have saw posted online and would have just turned down and said, nope, not for me, because I've never been a sales engineer before. And I think there's definitely one theme we keep hitting on is that your previous experience is definitely relevant, whether it's, you know, working at Costco, whether it's being a stand-up comedian, whether it's doing plays and drama. Like, that experience is insanely relevant to what we do every day. And so, yeah, being able to see that and to steal Danny's phrase, you know, avoid that tunnel vision is huge. And yeah, sometimes you just need somebody else, like a family member, a friend, a spouse, a colleague, somebody just to kind of be like, actually, you're perfect for this. Here's why.
Yeah. Just,
you're perfect, period. And you're like,
oh. You're beautiful. You're perfect. You look like Linda Evangelista. You're a model. And what I'm really excited for you, Danny, is like it pops up in mysterious ways. Like throughout my career, I'll have these moments where I'm like, huh, like good thing I took that. Here's an example. So I used to run a meetup and we didn't have a big enough budget to buy a step and repeat, which is like those things that you get for events that'll just say like the brand name behind you to take photos, you know. Mm-hmm. And I had a budget of a couple $100s and this just seemed like a no-brainer to me, but I ordered, and this is going to sound crazy until you put it together in your brain, I bought a clothing rack, a shower curtain that had a design of a scenic background on it, and some shower curtain rings. And that was our step and repeat. Like I'm using all of these skills from, you know, I used to do plays without a budget. We use kitty litter boxes for the set. You know? Yeah. And how do you work with, like, how do you build a set? How do you work on a budget? How do you do these things? And I remember, you know, said people were looking at me kind of weird in the corner, you know, putting together this thing. And I had made this, you know, photo booth and I had all the props and everything. And people were like, how did you think of this? And I was like, well, have you ever had to put on a production of Into the Woods with four people and no budget in a black box theater? Because this is how I learned the magic of set design. Or lighting has been so useful during the Panini. I had the best lighting on all my streams because I learned how to do lighting design. So it pops up in these really funny ways that I never thought it would ever pop up in. And I'm so excited for your journey, Danny, because you're just beginning. I'm sure a year from now, we're going to have like comedy stand-up variety hour tech edition or something. I can't wait to see what you do.
That would be amazing.
And since you mentioned meetups and we only have a couple minutes left, I want to make sure we chat about Danny's meetup, Ruby Galaxy. I actually have it. Let me see if I can share this. So anybody watching our live stream, you'll be able to check out Ruby Galaxy alongside us. Let's bring this up and there we go. Yeah, Danny, tell us about Ruby Galaxy.
Yeah, so every month we have an iteration. Oh my gosh, it's not even updated yet. Okay, well, imagine this is a nice little home screen. I was supposed to work on this before I got on here. But every month, every last Thursday of the month, we do a Ruby meetup. We call it Ruby Galaxy because it's Ruby enthusiasts from all around the world. And we are doing it tomorrow at 12 o'clock Pacific. And it'll be hosted by myself and Chill Codes on Twitch here on the screen. You'll see her. And yeah, it's super fun. It's been really exciting. We've had like guests like Matt's on, Aaron Patterson on. And tomorrow we have Corey Haynes and Amir Rajan. And we're focusing on Ruby off the rails. So,
ooh.
Yeah. I'm going to leave it there, but
no spoilers.
Yeah, but we're going to focus on some cool Ruby projects that are kind of outside of the Rails scope. But awesome. That's something I've been working on. And, you know, I'm on Twitch at Mui Danny, and you can follow me at Mui Danny everywhere, actually, on Twitter. And yeah, running a meetup is hard. It is really hard.
Wait until you do it in person, Danny. Feed them. You got to have beverages. You got to make sure they got chairs. It's a lot.
Yeah, this is kind of nice because I'm just like, all right, y'all have computers and the time, right? Cool.
Yeah, so it's something that it looks like anybody can join. It's totally remote. And it looks like to sign up, you just go to rubygalaxy.io and submit your email address. Click that register now button. Is that right?
Yeah. So you can, that would be just to join our email list, but it's actually, you can just pop on the Twitch channel, which is the Ruby Galaxy, and just watch it like any other show. You know, it's been really fun and we've always had really great questions in the chat, and you can follow the channel to get some updates at the Ruby Galaxy.
Amazing. Okay, we've got a couple of minutes left. We have to ask you a very important question.
Yes.
Tell us about your favorite theme park and ride. Go.
In 2 minutes or less.
So before I do that, I also, do we have any other time to like plug stuff?
Oh yeah, you can do that. Absolutely. Instead of the theme park.
Okay, but I also want to do that too. But also everyone be sure to check out Future Stack. Future Stack is super sick. It's going to be New Relic's kind of upcoming conference in May 25th through the 27th. The Relicans are going to be doing a bunch of cool stuff, but we have speakers, Kelsey Hightower, Andy Bao, and Sam Aaron.
That's a great lineup.
Yeah. Super sick lineup. I'm really excited. Kelsey Hightower actually told me that he used to be a comedy manager. So I want to talk to him about that more because it was very brief.
No way. I love that.
Yeah. But yes, check out Future Stack. There it is right there. And favorite ride.
And that's newrelic.com/FutureStack for anybody listening along on the podcast.
And I've been loving all of the Relican content, so it should be a good time.
Yes, and check us out on Twitch. New Relic, new underscore Relic, or you can find the schedule on my channel as well, Mui Danny. But I would have to say Waterworld.
And live show?
No. Live show, also great movie too. But no, there's a theme park in Colorado called Waterworld. Okay. And they used to have this giant wave and it would send people. They had to get rid of it because too many people were getting hurt. It was this giant wave that'd be released and it would just destroy everybody and people would be on tubes smashing into each other and everything. So that is.
Sounds like Class Action Park.
Yes, I need to check this out. Yes.
Amazing. Well, Danny, thank you so much for coming today. You've been an amazing guest. We got to get you back here. We'll do some improv comedy on the show or something.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much.
And make sure to follow Danny on all the things at Mui Danny. You can follow me at Chloe Condon or Brandon, the Code Traveler. And we'll see y'all next week. Bye, y'all.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.